I'm going to move into our next piece right now, Life of Christ. This is what we're doing here in Sunday School. It's our main lesson. In Unicoi, you guys are doing a worldview series where you're taking the Bible and you're examining the world, seeing what the Bible has to say about the world. Here in Sunday School, I want us to take the Bible and have the Bible examine us, to look at our hearts. And so we're dealing with these sort of more heart issues, these life issues. Last time we talked about anxiety and peace. Today we're going to talk about loneliness and belonging, and these are the other topics that we hope to cover. I'm going to give you an anchor verse for every single one. And as a disclaimer, I always say there's obviously more verses in the Bible that talk about these things, but I'm going to give you one per week so that way we can study it a little bit more in depth. This is our theme passage for the semester, and it's James 1, 23-25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So the point is that you do what the Bible says. You do act upon what the Bible tells you to do. And the perfect illustration that the Bible gives us is that if you go look at the mirror and you see stuff in your teeth, you're going to do something about it. You're going to take that out. You're not just going to walk away and like, okay, I'm just going to go live my life with all this junk in my teeth. No, you're going to actually act upon it. So when the word of God shows you your sin, you're going to do something about it, right? Or when the word of God shows you something in your heart that you need to deal with, you're going to do something about that. You're not going to just leave it alone. Christians are doers, okay? Put the word of God into practice. I'm going to briefly go over what we went over last week, and this is kind of like my template for how we're going to deal with these issues. We talked about anxiety. I gave you this verse, 1 Peter 5, 6-7. We examined all of these underlined things, and at the end, I concluded that Christians can be free from anxiety by humbly trusting in the sovereign care of their Heavenly Father. And I told you these points that God is supreme, God is sovereign, God is faithful, God is trustworthy, God is loving. You can come to God, especially in prayer. And that's what Tiff went over last week. Again, the way that we're going to do this is that I'm going to be giving the real teaching portion, okay, because I need us to see exactly what the Bible says. And then Tiff will give us the more practical ways of dealing with these things. Let's move this table forward a little bit so then we can have a back row. Okay, thank you. I'm going to push this a little bit more this way. Thank you. Isaac. I gave us sort of a case study about Jesus, seeing if Jesus was anxious. I think he was, and you can go back and review this if you want. By the way, the lesson that I did 2 weeks ago, that's also on our church YouTube. Okay, so if you want to review that, you can go back and listen to it. This is what we're talking about this week. We're talking about loneliness. Now, I need to give general disclaimers because these are sensitive topics. So this is my general disclaimer for this week. Today, we're talking about the common experience of loneliness. We're talking about like a feeling of loneliness that maybe all of us has experienced at one point in time. Now, I do believe that if loneliness is linked to depression and anxiety, you might want to go seek the help of a physician or a medical professional. Again, I'm a nurse, and so I do believe that medicine is good. I believe that medicine is a common grace from God. If you feel that your loneliness or depression or anxiety is extreme, then you can go get checked out for that. And related to that, always reach out and let someone know if you're experiencing self-harm or suicidal thoughts because of loneliness. This is how we're going to define loneliness today. It's a state of mind in which there is a perception of social isolation. Now, this is important, right? Because I'm saying that loneliness is a state of mind. So it's not necessarily a physical thing of loneliness, okay? So I can be alone in my room, right? By myself in my room with nobody there. But I don't necessarily have to feel lonely about that, right? I can think and I can know about God. I can think about my family, my friends. I might not feel lonely, even though I'm physically by myself. On the other side of things, I can be with a group of people at school in a friend group, but I can still feel lonely, right? Because loneliness is a state of mind in which you're perceiving social isolation. So that's how we need to think about that today, or that's how I want us to think about it today, right? We're not talking about necessarily physical loneliness. We're going to talk about sort of this almost spiritual state of loneliness. And this is what I want us to do here. I want us to go through this really quickly. What contributes to our loneliness? I think that the internet has contributed to our loneliness. And so I actually do spend a lot of time online. And I think that the internet does make us more lonely. I think that we are being connected to a lot of people, but not making deep or real or genuine connections. And I think that resonates in our soul. I think we can feel that, you know, that we have the ability to be connected, but we're not necessarily connected. I think COVID contributes to our loneliness. I think that it's a little bit traumatic going through COVID. Not being able to interact with other people. I think even if you are like an introvert, it's a long time to be an introvert for that COVID time. I think that contributes to our loneliness. And not only that, but I think coming out of COVID, I think we lost the ability to learn how to interact and how to just kind of be free around people. And I actually do think that being a Christian is lonely. I do. I think that here at church, it's easy to just think about, yeah, you know, we're at church and there's a lot of people here, a lot of friends, whatever. But then you go back into the world and you get assaulted by the media or by the secular schooling, and you feel very alone because the world and non-Christians do not believe what we believe. And once you start talking to people, once you start hearing different viewpoints, you realize, oh man, yeah, we're very different than the world. And rightfully so, right? Jesus tells us that the world's going to hate us. I think being Christian, you might feel a little bit lonely. When we talk about loneliness, okay, it's not necessarily sinful to be lonely, okay? So maybe I should clarify that, right? It's not necessarily sinful to be lonely. Maybe it can lead to sinful things, okay? For instance, let me give you another one, okay? It's not necessarily sinful to be anxious, the thing that we talked about last week. It's not. God has given us emotional capacities to feel a lot of stuff. And those feelings aren't necessarily sinful. Remember, I argued 2 weeks ago that Jesus was anxious. He just did not sin in being anxious. And so maybe in the same way, you can be lonely and not sin. Okay, so yeah, hold that thought. That's good. That's good. Let's go to the Bible and see what it says. And before we do that, let me give you an example of when I was lonely, okay? I'm pretty emotional, okay? You guys know what emo music is? I'm, like, into that, yeah. The music that I write is, like, emotional stuff. Anyways, the period of time when I was... I've been lonely many times in my life, okay? Let me just give you one example for time's sake. I was probably most lonely my senior year of high school. Let me explain to you why. I was probably most lonely because I had my church friends, right, and had my school friends. But for me, I did not go to like a UC or anything like that. I didn't even go to Cal State. I went to Mount SAC. And I felt lonely, okay, because all my friends were going to different places. And I didn't feel stuck, okay? I didn't feel like trapped. But I just felt like, okay, like I'm here, you know? And my friends are going on. And of course, like the friends that go to the same school, they're buddying up, right? They're like, oh yeah, let's go do this or whatever, you know? And I knew that eventually, when we graduate from high school, right, my senior year, I had one like best friend in high school, right? Like my graduation was just like, you know, it was chill, it was fine, but like I just wanted to hang out with my one friend. You know, I didn't really want to care about anybody else. So that was me. Now everybody's different, right? But that was my experience. I felt that, yeah, everybody's going on, doing their own thing. I was here. And at church, you know, I felt that like, yeah, you know, there's church friends too. But even your church friends, right? When people go to college, like, you're gonna lose the closeness that you're gonna have with people. It's life, right? It's part of life. It's, you can keep in touch with people, but it's not the same, man. The experience of a community college, living at home, and staying at your same church is vastly different than going to college, dorming with a roommate, being away from your parents, and finding a new church. That was my experience. Okay, your experience will be a little bit different than mine, I'm sure. But that was my experience. I don't think that it was necessarily a bad thing, but I did feel lonely at times. Now, this verse, okay, this passage, people don't always talk about this passage in terms of loneliness, but this is what I chose to share with you guys today. And in this section of scripture, I see three promises to combat loneliness. Okay, so I think that if you do ever experience loneliness, then you do have God's word to help you. Let's read this. Let's see if you can see what I see, and you can measure it, determine if what I'm saying is accurate or not. This is Matthew 28:16-20. It's a famous verse. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee." Let me give some context actually first. The context is that this is like the last passage in the book of Matthew. Okay, this is it. Jesus has already died on the cross and risen from the grave, and he's meeting with his disciples. But this is kind of the last recorded interaction that Jesus has with them in the book of Matthew. And so the disciples, they're being commissioned, right? This passage, the section of scripture is called the Great Commission. He's telling them what they need to do. But in the back of your mind, you need to think, oh, Jesus is not going to stay with his disciples. He's going to heaven. He's ascending to heaven to be with God the Father. The disciples are going to be left alone without Jesus. And yes, the disciples have each other, but you know, when you read the book of Matthew, you see that all they care about is being with Jesus. That's all that matters. Once you're with Jesus, you don't care about anybody else. You just want to be Jesus. And so when Jesus is going away, that's a huge detriment to all of them. They're going to be alone. And the world is going to hate them. The world is going to persecute them. Okay, Jesus at this point has probably made that pretty clear to his disciples before he goes to heaven. And so not only is Jesus leaving them, but he's leaving them in kind of a dangerous, scary situation. But I do think that he's going to give them some hope. Three promises to combat loneliness. So let's read it now. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I don't think that Jesus wants them to feel lonely. I don't think he does. Okay, and so this is the type of loneliness where I'm saying that, oh, if they feel lonely, Jesus does not want them to feel that way. Just biblically, we talked about how they're supposed to be in the church community, right? And reasons that I thought of were like, oh, it's not good for man to be alone, right? God does not want man to be alone. He's given him a helper and a wife. And in the same way, we have brothers and sisters in the family of God. God has adopted us into his family. So we are not children, orphans, but we belong to each other. And as God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit interact, that shows us that God is a communal God. And we should experience that too. Jesus does not want his disciples to be lonely. I see three promises to combat loneliness. The first one is right here. Jesus tells them that I am with you always. So first thing, okay. First promise that Jesus gives them is his presence. Jesus promises his presence to lonely people. He says that, hey, yeah, I'm not with you physically, but I promise I am with you always. And the reason why Jesus can say that is because even though, yes, Jesus has a physical body, he leaves with us his Holy Spirit. And Jesus does say that he's going to be with us. You can pray to Jesus and you can feel his presence when you interact with him with his word. He promises to be with you always. So you do not have to feel lonely. That is Christ's presence with you. Here's the second promise that I see in the scripture. Go therefore and make disciples, right? And this was good. Jesus gives us his presence, but he also gives us a purpose. Okay? Often when you're alone, right, you feel that like I am isolated and I don't have any reason for doing stuff. You want to be by yourself, but Jesus says, no, you actually have a purpose in your life. You are to go out into the world and make disciples. And you don't do that alone, right? You do that with the church. And so I think that's good. Go therefore and make disciples. You have a purpose in your life to be with other Christians, to make other Christians, right? And so not only do we stay with our community here, but we bring other people into the fold. Jesus has many sheep that are not part of us yet, and he wants to bring them all in. That's his goal. That's what he does. And we are to participate in that mission, not alone, but with each other and with Christ. One more promise to combat loneliness. And this one's a little bit tricky and hidden, I think. But listen, Jesus gives us his authority, okay? All authority has been given to Jesus, and he transfers that authority to us when we do it from his word. And with God's authority, okay, you have to think about the Old Testament. You have to kind of think about God as a person. With God's authority comes God's presence, okay? When you have somebody in authority, that means that their ruling, their leadership, their presence is in that place, right? If I'm under the authority of the laws of the United States, that means that I live my life under that presence, under that sense of like, oh yeah, I have to live underneath that law. And think about it. When God says he has authority in your life, over all of life, that authority is with you. It sticks with you. And so when you go into the world, you remember that, oh, God's authority is with you. And blatantly, it's here in his word, right? We always have God's word with us. So three promises that I see in here. This was especially important because of what I talked about earlier, that aspect of persecution, right? When people are persecuted for being Christians in this time, they are put in jail. They're taken away from their family and their friends. They're stripped away from the church community. They're alone. And so I don't think Jesus was just saying this as like a kind word of encouragement. I think he's saying this to give them actual hope that they can hold on to when the persecution comes. Hey, you're going to be thrown in jail, but I'm with you always. Hey, you're going to feel like hiding because people are going to hunt you down, but you have a mission to go and make disciples. Hey, you're going to feel that when you do get thrown in jail and when they're going to execute you, you're going to feel that you're all alone. But you need to remember that God's authority is still there. And he is reigning over this world, whether people recognize it or not. His mission, his purpose, his plan will still be done. Three promises to combat loneliness. Like I said, there's more promises in the Bible. This is what I've turned to this week. This is a big idea. Christians can be free from loneliness by clinging to Christ. Christians can be free from loneliness by clinging to Christ. And Jesus has given us his words. So not only do we cling to him in a heart aspect, right? We're like, oh, Jesus, I love you. I need to hold on to you. But we hold on to his word, the promises that he's given us. And I went over these things. Christ's presence, that he's going to be with us always. His purpose to bring other people and you into God's family. And his power, his authority, especially when we're living on God's mission. Christians can be free from loneliness by clinging to Christ. And this is what I want to take you to now. when you think about who Jesus is, you think about who he is inherently as a person, you find that he is a relational being. And this is Matthew 1:21-23. She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this passage is normally preached during Christmas time. And what you need to understand is that this verse, right? This verse in Matthew 1, that's at the beginning of the book of Matthew. What's the passage that I just showed you over here? The passage that I just showed you is from the book of Matthew, same book, but at the very end, Matthew 28. And so you have these bookends. At the beginning, Jesus Christ is born. You're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. And then at the end of Matthew, Jesus going into heaven, I'm going to be with you always. That's the whole point of who Jesus is. That's his life. He is going to be with his people. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think God put that there on purpose. So when you read Matthew, when you look at the life of Jesus, you always think, hey, you're not alone. Jesus, his whole being, his whole purpose, his whole personhood is to be with you. You don't have to be or feel lonely when you're scared or worried. Emmanuel is a title given to Jesus. God consistently presents himself as being with his people in the Old Testament, right? He says he's never going to leave his people. He's never going to forsake them. He's always leading them. Even when it seems like God's presence was absent from them in the wilderness wanderings, he was still with them. And then this is Christ's person as well. Who he is, his character, his essence. You can always go to Jesus when you're feeling lonely. These are some reflection questions that I have for you today. I want us to take 5 minutes to just kind of talk about them. And I kind of try to mirror them with my intro at the beginning. Has online community displaced your real life relationships? Remember, I told you that you can have a lot of online friends, but in reality, this is what we deal with. We deal with flesh and blood here. And so I want you to ask yourself, do you find more solace? Do you find more comfort in the online world or talking with online people when God has given you brothers and sisters here to talk to when you actually feel lonely and you need somebody's presence with you? Next, have you lived in fear of being known and loved? And so I think part of COVID is that we learned to isolate, but maybe we also forgot how to share our lives with each other. Part of combating loneliness on a very practical level is just knowing how to share your life with other people. And I'm not saying that you have to be extreme and just put yourself out there all the time, but do you have people that you can actually talk about real stuff with? Do you have friends that you can go to when you need them? God put us in the church community for a purpose. He didn't put us in church community just so we can be by ourselves, but he put us here to share life together, to experience life together, to walk with each other as we pursue Jesus. And so when we do that, we need to share our life with each other. Does anybody know you in that way? Or are you scared of being known and loved? And finally, have you found community in the church? Now, this is difficult because I know that you're young and you know you have other responsibilities and stuff, but it does take some effort to come out on Sundays and just start talking to somebody. How was your week? Hey, are you free anytime this week for a phone call? Hey, I know where you eat lunch at school. You want to spend just one lunch together and hang out for a little bit. It's weird, I know, but this church community is what we have on Sundays and Fridays, maybe. But during the week, that's really when we live our lives, right? When you're at school, when you're at home, you need to find friends that you can be with. And if you have not found that, then I encourage you to pray about it and to reach out. And when you go to college, okay, and this is just kind of like advice, okay, it's not when you go to college, you know, you do have a chance to start over again. You do. It's true. And so you can put yourself out there a little bit more. I would say take advantage of that. You know, I would say really try hard to find a community if you're not going to be here at FCBC Walnut. Okay, really, really think hard about that. Are you going to make that a priority in terms of finding a fellowship group? And if you're like me and you stay here, will you commit and invest in this church, maybe more hardcore than you have been in the past? So some reflection questions. I want you to think about that for a minute. But let me end our lesson, okay? I was most lonely during my senior year of high school, and I felt that everybody was leaving. By God's grace, what I was able to do is that I was able to think about my faith, actually think about, Aaron, am I really a Christian? If I am, then this church is my home, and I need to invest in my church friends. And so I committed to staying at FCBC Walnut and making sure I did not let the friends that were at church go. I would say that the senior year between graduating and starting college that summertime, I would say that was one of the best times of my life, because I found friends that I could experience life with here at church. I got closer to the church friends that were here. You found time to hang out, right? Because it was free during the summer. And I got plugged in by serving, and I really invested in studying God's word during that summer. I didn't feel alone anymore, because not only did I have church friends that I knew that I could spend time with and that were here, but I also committed to spending more time with God and really, really making it a point to know what he says. That summer was probably one of the summers where I grew the most in terms of like making leaps and bounds in knowing about God and learning about the Bible. And so that summer is coming up very quickly for some of you. You don't have to feel lonely, no matter where you go. You have the church, you have Jesus Christ, you have his Holy Spirit, you have God the Father. You don't have to be alone. I pray that you grow in God and with his family.